Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining the call. This is Chell Suber speaking on behalf of the Partnership for New American Economy. I am in Columbia, South Carolina today. The purpose of today's call is to discuss with, we have our featured speaker will be is Chalmers Carr. I will introduce him in just a moment. For purposes of background, Mr. Carr is the president and CEO of Titan Farms in Ridge Springs, South Carolina. He's the president of the National Peach Council. He's on the South Carolina Peach Council, and he's the president of USA Farmers. And Mr. Carr was in Washington this morning and participated in a panel discussion at the this morning, and I'll let him tell you more about that, and who was also in the panel discussion this morning. Also, the other reason we're doing this today is the Partnership for New American Economy the Agriculture Coalition, the Agriculture Coalition for Immigration Reform released this morning the a report by Dr. Stephen Bronners, senior economist with the Welsh Consulting, titled No Longer Homegrown, How Labor Shortages Are Increasing America's Reliance on Imported Fresh Produce and Slowing U.S. Economic Growth. And then after we hear from Mr. Carr, we will allow for some questions. So without further ado, Chalmers, I'll ask you to tell us a little bit about this morning's conference and who all was there and start from there.
Well, good morning, and Shell, thank you. And again, my name is Chalmers Carr, and I'm the owner and operator of Titan Farms in Ridge Springs, South Carolina. And just so you all know, we are the largest grower of peaches, bell pepper, and broccoli in South Carolina. We grow over 5,000 acres of peaches, and we harvest about 700 acres of vegetables each year. And today I was invited up to speak in a forum panel at the National or the D.C. Press Club. And the hosting the forum was the Agriculture Workforce Coalition, along with the Partnership for a New American Economy and American Farm Bureau. And the highlight of this was to bring in four producers from across the country, one from California, one from South Carolina, one from Texas, and one from Colorado, representing different sectors of agriculture. We had two dairy producers, two vegetable producers, and we also had a contract crew foreman, if you would, that supplied labor to the vegetable industry in California. And so it was a question and answer type forum highlighting the need for comprehensive immigration reform and what impacts lack of comprehensive immigration reform are currently having on the agriculture industry and what future impacts that we could expect if no action is taken. And more importantly, what do we need in a comprehensive bill? So through that, the theme was very easily understood, and you can see it in the press today that, you know, we do have labor shortages across this country. Although South Carolina may not be one of the states that experiences it as much as other states, we do have shortages even in South Carolina. Now, I'm kind of unique to the group because I am an H-2A employer. And for those of you not familiar with the H-2A program, it is actually a federal guest worker program that allows seasonal and temporary agriculture producers to go out and get labor from abroad legally, bring them in with passports and visas to work on those operations for a specific amount of times, and then the worker returns home. I've been doing that for 16 years now, and so understand the program quite well. But unfortunately, that program has not availed itself to all producers because, again, it must be seasonal and temporary in nature. And with today's agriculture industries, with consolidation and not only diversification, you've got a lot of year-round operations that are not able to use it. The backbone to this whole story is currently right now agriculture, the industry of agriculture, is the most dependent on foreign labor as any industry in the country. And out of the 1.2 million estimated workers, it's roughly believed that 70% of those are undocumented or fraudulently documented and not legally employable in the country, although we all know that goes on and exists. So the problem exists twofold. as we try to explain it to everybody, you've got a situation where you have a current workforce that is skilled and trained working in this country, although they may be of false status, and then you have a need for a future flow of workers through a guest worker program. And so there where comprehensive immigration comes forward, where you need to have border security, new employment verification standards, but those must go hand in hand with dealing with the current workforce and a future workforce. Now, obviously, being a guest worker employer, I understand the future flow of guest workers very, very much to the tune of what the program, the deficiencies in the current program and what a new program should look like. But as we try to explain to everybody, our aging workforce is aging out. And I mean, I'm not just talking about the agricultural workforce, but if you look at the baby boomers that we have and the baby boomer generation, they are aging out of the workforce. And our younger generations, who are quite fewer in number, have higher education levels, have more job opportunities. So we realize that there are going to be less and less Americans willing to work on these farms. And so if we don't figure out a system that will allow us to get labor to come in and work on these farms, our domestic production of fruits and vegetables, as well as other agricultural commodities, will move offshore. And then that bodes the question of where are we going to be with food safety and even food security in this country. So through the questions and answers, there was a lot of talk about how the impact was on the local economies. I will share with you, those of you on the phone, that as you know, most farms in South Carolina are from rural areas, and they're the backbone of those communities. My operation, Titan Farms, is one of the largest private employers in Edgefield County. Now, I have Bridgestone and Firestone in Edgefield County, yet as a farming operation, my payroll exceeds $8 million annually. So I am a very big impact to that local economy. And when we have labor shortages or we have crop failures, those shortages are felt. And they're felt not just across my farm, but across the whole community and people that we do business with. So agriculture does matter to the economy of South Carolina. As you all know, it's the number one economy in South Carolina when you look at the food and fiber industry. And so our whole point is to keep relaying the message that we've got to have comprehensive immigration reform. Time is now. Our industry cannot wait any longer. And the best question asked today, and I'll share with you, is the question at the end is, the question was, what's going to happen to America and what's going to happen to American farms? And I answered to them very quite honestly, there's already a trend that the American family farm is getting smaller, meaning your operations are either getting bigger and expanding, or you're downsizing to where you're actually doing this as a secondary income. And that trend is all the way across the country. But my answer was more pointed to that. My answer is simply, the American consumer is going to lose out in this. As we move away from production agriculture in our country, our food prices are already increasing. If you look at our beef herd numbers, they're at record lows. Our beef prices are at record highs. Food prices are in the news every day of stories of 6% increases. As we have shortages of labor, those are going to escalate. Then we're going to more and more rely on foreign imports to take those over. And that's where the real dilemma comes in, because we're going to have foreign workers in foreign countries harvesting the food instead of having foreign legally authorized workers in this country harvesting the food grown in this country here under our safe protocols and under our standards. And that's the real loss. And so I share that with you all. Look forward to any questions you may have. And Shell, we'll turn it over to questions and answers.
Well, thank you, Chalmerton. I really appreciate it. And we also sincerely appreciate your participation in that panel discussion this morning in Washington. Very interesting, especially in light of this report. As I was looking over the report, I think one thing that struck me was the fact that while American families are consuming more fresh fruit and vegetables, the imports have gone up a remarkable amount, nearly 80% in recent years. And I thought that was one of, I'm glad you mentioned food security, because this is one of those situations that doesn't just touch on one economy, but it touches on many, and has other aspects as well as regards to national security.
Well, Shell, you're exactly right, and to that point, people need to understand is, yes, fresh fruit consumption, fruit and vegetable consumption in America has risen by about 9%. Yet at the same time, production of these have declined inside our country. So that means if your consumption is increasing, of course we know our population is increasing, so your overall demand is increasing, but yet your U.S. production is decreasing, then that is being filled in by imports. The real scary thing to this is most people don't even understand if less than 1% of the fruits and vegetables imported into our country are actually inspected by USDA. That is scary when you start thinking about food safety and now food security with bioterrorism and everything else like that. So where our companies have had to adapt to very high standards of food safety protocols and implement traceability programs and everything like that, and we have FDA and EPA regulating everything we do, a lot of these foreign countries don't have those same restrictions, and yet our inspection service only touches 1% of it. So we must make the consumer, again, my comment there at the end is the American consumer is the one that's going to lose out. Right now, the American consumer is, I hate to say it, but spoiled. We have the most abundant, safest, cheapest food supply in the world. We are envied by every modern country there is, but that tide is changing. And so when food prices increase and we have more security, security concerns with food, the one thing our people don't worry about right now is the food they put on the table. When that starts happening, then your whole policy of life is going to change.
I think it's especially, it would be, I believe it would be particularly surprising to consumers in light of the fact that locally grown has become a very a popular subject. A lot of people are looking for locally grown food. There's increased demand here in the United States for food that is locally grown, and yet we are held back by a lot of people wouldn't connect the dots back to a decades old antiquated federal immigration policy that's making it harder and harder to find quality local food, even while demand is going up for that product.
Well, Shel, you hit on it right there. I mean, you saw a report out of the Department of Agriculture in South Carolina, the Small Initiative, the Small Farmer Initiative, where there is tremendous opportunities for small and beginning young farmers to actually connect with these consumers that want locally grown. And, you know, organics was a sustainable trend. There are people that want organic production, everything else. This locally grown is sustainable. It's going to be here for everybody, forever. People want to connect the dots between their producer, who's harvesting, who's growing their crops and everything else like that. But the problem is, in the old way of agriculture, when we were growing up and many years ago, the rule of thumb was you didn't plant anything you couldn't sell. Well, now you don't plant anything you can't harvest. Selling it's not a problem. Now our problem is labor to harvest it. So, again, you're right. Our immigration policy is old. We have been fighting for comprehensive immigration since 1998. Border security has definitely tightened up the borders. And then you look at states, even such as South Carolina, that are passing e-verification laws that are superseding federal immigration laws because they're tired of the federal government not doing anything. Our consumers and our South Carolinians are losing out because they have some wonderful opportunities to have producers growing stuff for them locally who can't get labor. And so we've got to change this policy.
Thank you, Chalmers. This session was recorded, and so it will be made available to press members who were not available to be on the call live. Again, I want to thank you for taking your time out of your trip in Washington to visit with us and tell us a little bit about, share a little bit about this morning's panel discussion and this report. If anyone has any questions, again, my name is Shel Suber. I'm speaking on behalf of Partnership for New American Economy. My telephone number is 803-261-1194 available for any questions, and can get Mr. Carr's contact information. If anyone has follow-up information, they can contact me and I can get you in touch with them. Again, thank you everyone for this morning's phone call, and please be in touch if you have any questions.
Shel, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.